Break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the sacrament of the altar, or Luther's favorite, the Lord's Supper. In our second reading for tonight, St. Paul says to this rather divided congregation in Corinth, who had a whole host of problems, and they weren't small, he says to them, I delivered to you what I first received. What I got, I gave. What I get, I give. St. Paul, I love what he says to the Corinthians, doesn't say, well, I decided to make it up as I went along. I decided after a few centuries that I would just simply do a little bit of revising. No, Paul says, what I got from Jesus, I'm going to give to you. What was delivered to me and entrusted to me, I'm going to make sure that you get a hold of this treasure also. On the night in which he was betrayed, notice how Paul starts it? He calls to our remembrance right away, Maundy Thursday, the night that Jesus was betrayed, when he shared a final supper, when he took a towel, and even though he was Lord and Master, he became the servant, and he washed the feet of his disciples and made them clean with his spoken word. On the night in which he was betrayed, when Satan had already put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus, and he would do it in the Garden of Gethsemane with a kiss. On the night in which he was betrayed, that's the setting. What did Jesus do? Paul says, this is what he did. He took bread, gave it to his disciples, but first he gave thanks and he blessed it. Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Luther said that for you is the main thing in the sacrament of Holy Communion. He did this, yes, for the whole world, but he did it particularly, specifically for you. For you. Is he against me or for me? Well, remember how the Ten Commandments begin? I am the Lord, your God. I'm for you. I'm not against you. So on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and then he took the cup, and he said, as often as you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me for the remission of sin. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Paul says, until he comes. You proclaim the Lord's death, Good Friday, the crucifixion of our Messiah, until he comes. The one who was in the beginning, the Word of God, through whom all things were made and became flesh, the incarnation, the one who was crucified after being betrayed, after being wrongly convicted, after being deserted and denied, this one died for your sins. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. In his stead and by his authority, we proclaim it. And he's coming back again. And because he's kept all of his promises, you can be sure that for you, his return is going to be good news. For you. For you is the main thing in the sacrament. Well, throughout the season of Lent, and it's hard to believe that the 40 days have run their course so quickly, we've been looking at Luther's greatest contributions to the church. He said, out of all the thousands of things that he wrote, large and small catechism, and the bondage of the will. So we've been looking at the large and small catechism, both written by Luther in 1529. Remember what the word catechism means? To sound back and forth. And so Luther took the catechism, and there was about 30 of them in the 1500s that had the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments, but he had it, baptism and Holy Communion, and in between them, confession and forgiveness. And he put it all together as law and gospel, because the law always accuses and kills, but the gospel absolves and frees, makes alive and brings about the new creation. To sound back and forth, so we become, in this format of questions and responses, God's word of reverberation. We become God's echo chamber. The Father authored the Ten Commandments. The Son authored the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of the tempted. And the Holy Spirit authored the creed, the ought, which becomes a may, which performs the has. I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has, the Spirit that God gave me in the name of his Son, when he allowed me in baptism to call him Abba, Father. And that's why Luther said, baptism is always present tense. I am baptized. And in the small catechism, when Luther was asked about baptism, what does it mean for daily living? Well, it's just my hocus pocus. It's just something that I did 30 years ago. No. Luther said, this is what baptism means for daily living. It means that my sinful self, with all of its evil deeds and desires, should be drowned through daily repentance, so that day after day a new self can arise to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. We are God's sounding board, echo chamber. Well, God gives the means of grace, the means by which he gives us faith, and then feeds and nurtures that faith. So in baptism, we enter the kingdom of God. You remember the words of Jesus, John chapter 3? He says it to Nicodemus, who is the teacher, unless you are born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then in John 6, he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'm going to raise them up on the last day. Luther said there's two sacraments, and they're hinged together by daily repentance and by confession and forgiveness. Baptism, our beginning, and Holy Communion, our sustenance. Our daily, weekly, monthly, lifelong feeding and nourishment. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim. You're preachers. You knew that, right? You're preachers. Every time you participate in the sacrament of the altar, you are preaching. You're a living sacrament. You're a witness to the world that Christ is risen indeed. Even in the season of Lent, even during Holy Week, it's not like we're sitting on pins and needles and saying, I wonder how this is all going to end. No, we know the rest of the story. Because Jesus Christ, who died for the forgiveness of your sins, he writes the story. He is the story, and he reveals to us the end or the rest of the story. So the law, it will reveal our sin, but the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals our Savior Jesus. So let's spend a little time tonight wrapping our hearts around the sacrament of Holy Communion. Jim Nestigan said that when it comes to Luther, he always focused on two key words. He liked to call it the Lord's Supper. And the word covenant, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, is sometimes translated testament. Luther liked the word testament. Now let me tell you why he liked the word testament and why he liked calling it Lord's Supper. It's really pretty simple. Testament, last will and testament, lawyers, wills, you know what I'm talking about. You have to have a testator, the one who is bequeathing. But you know what has to happen for you to inherit? You've got to be named. And the testator has to die. So Jesus gives his life so that you and I can be not only named. I know my sheep know me. They follow me. I give them eternal life. No one can snatch them out of my hands. John 10. You know those words. Jesus knows us by name, and he promises us an inheritance. Read Galatians chapter 3 and 4 sometime. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed, so to speak. Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, huh? Clothed, so to speak. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one. And your sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah. Heirs, Paul says, according to promise. You're an heir. And only the sons get to inherit. That's why when the word son is used in the Bible, it's not talking about a male person. Sons and daughters in baptism become children of Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham and Sarah's seed, Jesus, is the one who saves. He is God's word of hope and promise for you. And Luther liked to call it the Lord's Supper because, as I would teach my confirmation kids, Lord's, you know what that little mark is called between the D and the S? An apostrophe. I mean, it's just so small, isn't it? Lord's, right? Just a little apostrophe. But you know what that apostrophe means? Ownership, belonging, possession. This is his supper. And Luther said, we've got to remember who's in charge of this meal. It's his supper. It's not yours. It's not mine. But we get invited. And in the eating and the drinking, we become preachers. And your sins are forgiven. That's what he says in the small catechism. Luther says, so what are you going to give me? What did you bring me, Dad? What did you bring me, Mom? God is a giver, you know. He loves the world so much that he gives his only son. So in the sacrament of Holy Communion, in the Lord's Supper, he gives you forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, and deliverance from the death and the devil. Remember the Lord's Prayer is the prayer for the tempted. And Luther said that the Lord's Supper is a meal for the tempted. It was C.S. Lewis in his book, The Screwtape Letters, where he made a significant distinction. The devil is always on the prowl, like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, right? The devil has you in the scope if you're a hunter, right? I mean, you're his target practice. He's got a mark right on your back. He wants to get you. And C.S. Lewis says in the Screwtape Letters that the goal of Satan, the father of all lies, a murderer from the beginning, the goal of the devil is this. He wants cattle to become his food. You. Cattle to become his food. But you know what your heavenly father wants? He wants servants to become his sons. Big difference. This is what God has planned for you. This is what God has promised for you. In a sacrament, you've got a command. You've got a visible means like water, like bread, like wine, just ordinary stuff. just ordinary until God attaches the word to it, Jesus. And then there's a promise. Whoever eats and drinks has eternal life, and I'll raise them up on the last day. That's a word of promise for you. The for you is the main thing. But Luther in the Small Catechism will say, so how do I know when one is worthy? And Luther will answer the question himself and say, worthy? Crying out loud, I couldn't begin to be worthy. It's his invitation that makes me worthy. And then Luther will say to those that want to disparage baptism or disparage the Lord's Supper, he'll say, are you nuts? He probably used a little more colorful language than that, but that was Luther. Whatever is instituted and commanded by Jesus Christ, Luther says, whatever is instituted and commanded by Jesus Christ cannot be an empty thing. It's full of promise for you. So, how do I know if somebody's worthy? You see, this is where the old Adam and Eve, this is where Satan goes on the attack. Well, but I know what you've been doing. I know what you've been thinking. And then you're going to go up to that sacrament? You hypocrite. You're not worthy. Get your act together. I mean, this was happening in Corinth, you know, all this abuse with the Lord's Supper. They forgot that little apostrophe. It's the Lord's Supper. And whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body, well, they're going to get the curse and condemnation instead of the blessing and the mercy of God. So you're going to get the attack of Satan. I mean, he's going to do it all over the place. Like he'll say, well, so how do you know when you've really got the Lord's Supper? He took a cup. Oh, no. Yep, we've got one cup. We're good. Wine? Grape juice? Intinction? Everybody drink from the same cup? I mean, do we have to replicate it exactly? See, Satan is going to play with you. He's going to say, how do you really know? How do you know if you're worthy? How do you know if you're really getting the sacrament? Plus, what about the person giving it to you? What if they're a sinner? What if they're doing some nasty, despicable stuff? Then it must not be valid, right? Or he'll play the other way. Because you see, Satan always likes to jump on both sides of the fence. He just does. So he'll play the other side and he'll say, you know, you really don't need this that often. It's just a little cognitive thinking anyway. And it really doesn't matter what you have for the visible means. Like Coke and pizza? How about some cookies and milk? You see? Well, it may be tasty, but it's not the Lord's Supper. It's not what Jesus has attached the word, the promise to. He said, as often as you drink this cup. This was a Passover meal. So it was the fruit of the vine. But you know as well as I do that with the fermentation process and stuff, it wasn't until the 1800s that they were able to get grape juice that wasn't fermented, non-alcoholic, but grapes immediately start fermenting. The juice does. So you see how people want to start arguing about all this stuff? And then guess what happens? Now we're going to spend all of our time having theological conversations or everybody having their opinions about what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong, and what do we lose? It's the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the main thing, you see? But Satan wants to distract us. Always distract us. How do you know you're worthy? I was in Little Falls as a pastor for 17 years, and I would go to the Lutheran home twice a month, and there were members and non-members of our congregation that would come down to the chapel twice a month, and we'd have like about a 25, 30-minute service. We'd have communion twice a month for the residents there, and a devotional, some scriptures, some singing. One of the Wednesdays I went there, I had a couple of gals in the congregation that helped me, and I said, where's Mildred? And they said, oh, she said she can't come. I said, what? Mildred Shelley. She had moved to Little Falls because as she and her husband Helmer got older, their health was failing, and Mildred had Alzheimer's. So I said, let me go talk to her. So I went way down the hall, and I found Mildred Shelley. I went into her room, and I said, hi, Mildred, it's me, Pastor Dave. Remember? Remember? Your son, his name is David, remember? That's how we remember this. Your son's name is David, I'm Pastor Dave, remember? She smiled. I went over to her where she was sitting in her wheelchair. And I said, Mildred, the Lord's Supper today. I'm here to wheel you down to the chapel. Oh, I can't. I said, what? I can't. I'm not worthy. And you know what I did? I took a knee. You know, because when you're in a wheelchair, you're down. So I just took a knee. And I went down by Mildred, and I took her two hands, this 82-year-old woman, and I looked at her big, beautiful green eyes, and I said, Mildred, of course you're not worthy. Neither am I. The only one that's worthy is Jesus. He makes us worthy with his body and his blood, with his forgiveness. He says, take and eat. He says, take and drink. It's for you, Mildred. Let's do it. That's what she said. Let's do it. And so we did. Because what Jesus commands and institutes cannot be an empty thing. Do you see? It can't be. Oh, the world isn't going to understand it, and they're going to get all tied up in words like remembrance. I mean, they will, depending upon your Christian traditions. The Greek word for remembrance is anamnesis. It means to participate. What it literally means is something that happened in the past that guarantees a promise for the future is right here and now in the present for you. When Jesus says, do this for the remembrance of me, he's not saying, every once in a while, why don't you just kind of think up about what happened 2,000 years ago. It's not just intellectual cognitive recall. It's participation with Jesus in his death and his resurrection, which is a means of grace that creates faith and believing and the promise of forgiveness and resurrection unto eternal life for you. You get exactly what Jesus promises if you believe. And so because God knows we have a hard time believing, he gives you the Holy Spirit that creates faith when and where it pleases God. That's what he does. Remembrance. Remember the $5 you owe me, Kevin? Yeah, I've got to think about this now. So when I ask Kevin, for example, to remember $5 that he owes me, am I asking him, can you do a little cognitive thinking for all of us right now, Kevin? That's nuts, isn't it? What am I saying? Come on, help me out. Pay up. Do something about it. That's what the word sacrament means, to do, make holy. That's what the word means, to do, to make holy. You shall be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so in holy communion, what does he do? He does something. He doesn't just think about it. Remember when we say to our Father, remember the offering of your Son Jesus on the cross? Remember that, Abba? He says, I remember. It's for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Right here, right now, it's for you. You see? Think even of the word recall. I mean, it's kind of interesting. People think recall is just some kind of intellectual thought, but you know what I'm talking about. If there's a recall on food, what do? Well, it's probably not all bad. You know, it's just that some of that chicken was bad, or some of, right? I'm not going to throw it out. I'm not going to waste my time going all the way back to the store. They're going to give me my money back, a replacement. Yeah, but they're going to give me my money for my gas and my time to go there. What do you do when there's a recall? You get rid of the food, unless you're crazy. And what else do you do? If there's a recall on your car, well, I think I'm going to roll the dice. No, you take it in. I've taken my stuff in. I've had to take my wife's car in 3-4 times. It's a Ford Fiesta. I don't know. They just had a lot of recalls. But you go in there because they're going to do something. They're going to fix the problem, right? You see? So how often? As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, how often? I love this. You know what Luther said? Luther said, what do you think the word often means? Huh? What do you think? You think it means like maybe once a month? I mean, people used to say, so is this a communion Sunday or is this a non-communion Sunday? That's an oxymoron. You know why they were asking? Because if it's a communion service, it's going to be at least 10 to 15 minutes longer. Is it a long service or a short service? I mean, this is crazy. How often? A friend of mine, Orthodox confessional, a professor at Concordia College years ago, named David Fagerberg. He was leading a workshop at a synod assembly for me. And he was talking about the Lord's Supper and remembrance, anamnesis, communion, all this stuff, right? And somebody said, yeah, but you could just hear the wheel spinning, right? This is the devil doing his dirty work again. Yeah, but if you do it too often, it won't be special anymore. You know what Dr. David Fagerberg said? That's why I kiss my wife only once a month. I want to keep it special. I mean, he's being sarcastic, but you get the point, right? If it's a means of grace, if it's God's way of feeding and taking care of you, here's what I used to tell my confirmation kids. They'd say, well, how often then? I said, well, you got a vehicle. What do you need to make it run? They said, you mean like gas in the car, in the tank? I said, yeah. I said, so how often are you going to fill it up? They rolled their eyes. Well, it depends upon how much we use it. Yeah. You see? You're going to be an active disciple? You're going to be busy doing the work of the Lord? You're going to have to be filling up often. Right? It's for you. It's for the forgiveness of your sins. And I don't know about you, but I sin often and always. Why would I want to put a limit on God's forgiveness for me? Give it to me, Jesus. Right? When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, Lord, have mercy on me. And so I deliver to you what was first given to me. I forgive your sins. In his stead, in the name of Jesus, by his command and authority. And I invite you to come to his supper, where he will say to you again tonight, take and eat, take and drink. This is for you. Amen. We rise as we are able for our song of the day.